Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 6. I've got a couple of other scriptures, but I'm going to move through those fairly quickly. Even he'll bring them up on the screen. But Isaiah 6 is where we'll camp out in a few minutes. But before we get there, I say this every Sunday all year long, basically, that we have been talking about. Yes, I would hate it if I had said that this many times and we didn't remember that. Discipleship, thank you. We've been talking about discipleship and the last couple of weeks, few weeks, we talked about a few things that go with that. And one of them was how sad it would be to be an unbelieving believer. How sad it would be to be an unbelieving believer. Yet we find ourselves in that condition, and it can happen more often than we mean for it to if we're not very careful. I've told you that I completely appreciated and could place myself right there in Scripture. You know, some Scripture, I've prayed this. I'm just going to tell you, this might help you. Before you read your Bible, pray for God to open your mind and put you there. I've always wanted to go to the Holy Land so I could just see the places, because I just have an imaginary thing of what the desert looks like, what Gethsemane looks like, what the Garden of Eden. Well, we can't find the Garden of Eden, but I've got a picture in my mind. But there are some places that we could go, and I would have a better idea. Even looking at it, you know, looking it up online, looking at it in different ways, looking at pictures of it, it doesn't do it justice. Has anyone ever been to the Grand Canyon? Who hasn't been to the Grand Canyon? Let me tell you this with 100% accuracy. Pictures don't tell the story. And you can go there in the morning, or at noon, or the afternoon, or the evening, and get four different pictures easily. Just hang around a little while. All the hues and everything changes. Well, I would love to be able to take the word. And so I'll just tell you this. Ask God to open up your mind. Reading your Bible, you're going to have to contend to do that anyway. You can read anything else just fine. But when it comes to the Word of God, you're going to have to fight for it. Yeah, because you have an enemy. But the Word of the Lord is so powerful. So there's the unbelieving believer, and the Scripture that I love so much, and I could put myself right there, was the one where the man was standing in front of Jesus. He had obvious things that he needed done to him, and Jesus said anything is possible to him that believes. And he said, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. I said, that's me. I get that, because unfortunately in the human condition, if we're honest with ourselves, I could lie to y'all and say that's not true, but the truth is, in the human condition, I could tell you I got faith that'll move a mountain all the time, and that would be a lie to you. Because sometimes we are unbelieving believers. It's part of the human condition. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with things. But I'm so grateful that scripture right there was included, where a man was so honest in front of Jesus. He said, I believe. I believe he believed. But I also believe that he doubted. Jesus said that over. He said, if you believe and don't doubt. So there's something to that. There's a hurdle that we overcome. So discipleship, that was a great thing that we spent time on, to not be an unbelieving believer. And I preached a sermon on forgiveness. My son-in-law preached a sermon on forgiveness, because we've got to forgive to be forgiven, right? That's what the Word says. That's what is right there following the Lord's Prayer that we all know, and we quote the Lord's Prayer, but after it is, it says that you got to forgive people their trespasses so that you can be forgiven of your trespasses. It says that, and we spent time with that. So I'm just going to tell you, those things are conditions of being a human, and they're conditions of our heart. They're conditions of our heart. Forgiveness is a choice. But I want to talk to you about your heart this morning, and that you have a king of your heart. And if you don't, you need one. You need one. In Psalm 19 and 14, I ended this last week, the scripture that says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable. And I said, that right there, let me know that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart can be unacceptable. Let me drop back for just a second, okay? Because I've spent a lot of time on discipleship, and I don't want this to just be an encouraging talk to you. I want it to be something that sinks in. I want it to be something that you can sink your teeth into. I want it to be something so valuable that the enemy comes in, like the Bible said, that he comes in quickly, immediately, and tries to steal the seed away from you. That's how valuable the seed is. That's not how greedy the bird is. That's how valuable the seed is. And if we're not careful, it'll just be another Sunday and another set of words. And you said, oh, yeah, Pastor John enjoyed the sermon today. And get brave one time and ask the person, well, what did he say? I'm telling you, that quick. I forget what I preached. That quick. Not telling you that to put you on the spot. I'll put me on the spot. That's another part of human nature. Okay? So let me change it up for a second. Platitudes. Say platitudes. How many know what they are? It's not a pretty flower or plant or something like that. Sounds like a plant, doesn't it? It also sounds like a creature with a bill on it, you know. It's the cousin to the platypus. It's a platitude. You learned something wrong today. Not something new, something wrong. No, platitudes. Platitudes are these. They're remarks or statements, especially a remark or statement with a moral content that has been used too often to be interesting or thoughtful. That's what a platitude is. God's word can never become a platitude to us. Let us pray and go home. That was enough right there. I'm going to give you some examples of what platitudes are. You already know what they are because you're going to tell me. You're going to finish them off. Everything happens for platitude. Honesty is the best. You're going to love this. It is. Don't you? It comes out so easy, but there's nothing that comes with it in the wisdom category. Well, it is what it is. And that seems to be good enough to move us on. And I need a little bit better answer than that. Good things come to what's done is done. This too shall. Time heals all. Yeah, all those things. Nobody's perfect. There we go. That's the next one in line. That's perfect. Don't worry. Be happy. Just be yourself, yeah. In the business world, here's some business-related platitudes. This one's a lie. The customer is always right. I promise you that's right, because if that was right, I wouldn't pay for nothing like, the customer's right, this was free. I'd be driving new cars every week. Because the customer's always right. Leadership starts at the top. Customer's experience is everyone's job. That just sounds like, can you remember you worked at wherever you worked? Customer's experience is everyone's job. Work smarter. Think outside. We need to get a new shape because we've used the box up. Somebody said that one a long time ago. Think outside of the box, and that was great. And then everybody started saying it, and now, like, embrace a bigger circle or something, you know. Don't be a square. You're as young as you feel. That's a lie. Better late than... If you can't stand the heat, one more money can't buy. Platitudes. Words that probably have a little bit of moral content to them, but they're said too often and they don't mean anything after a while. The danger of God's word becoming a platitude, because if we don't take it and apply it to our lives and realize the value of it, it's just another platitude. Well, let's just pray about it. God knows. Here's one. Well, it'll bless somebody else one day. So God let it happen to me so it'll bless somebody else. What about this? I don't want to bless somebody else, God. I don't want it to happen to me at all. That's real. That's the truth. The Word of God is much more than a platitude. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. So words matter. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, that tells me something that He's watching. Would I talk different in front of Him? Guess what? He's watching. He's present. You remember the 70s, they taught us this, that God was omni, right? All powerful, omnipowerful, omnipresent, omniscient. What was it? Omnipotent, that's the power one. Omnipresent, present. And there's one more, omnipresent. Come on, help me. Come on, y'all know this. Omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omni. We'll move on. Okay? But if my words can be acceptable, they should be. If the meditations of my heart are acceptable, they could be acceptable. They should be acceptable. And if they're not, then they're unacceptable words. Unacceptable meditations. Those will both get you in trouble. And let me tell you what your words will do to you. They will take what you believe is a good testimony and destroy it, and you'll not even realize it happened. Your words matter. What you say in front of people matters. Proverbs 4:23. I told you it's a heart issue. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it spring the issues of life. Your heart collects seeds. You are a creative being. Whatever seed gets in, your heart is considered soil, biblically speaking. Whatever seed gets there will produce exactly what that seed was. There'll be no mystery to it, because the Word of God says that a seed produces after its own kind. There's no mystery to it. But you've got to be careful, because strange seeds will grow inside of you. Remember the parable, an enemy has done this. An enemy has planted a bad seed. You've got to be very careful. That's why it says, keep your heart. That's an agricultural term of gardening, taking the weeds out, removing things that shouldn't be there, and that you do it with all diligence. What does that mean? No days off. Sorry. No time off. I could be like hiding that, be like, Would y'all please silence your phone? And yeah, that was me. You don't get a chance. You don't get a day off when it comes to keeping your heart. Okay? Jeremiah 17, 9. Here's why you don't get a day off. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know that your pastor has a heart? You know that your child has a heart? You know that your spouse has a heart? You know that your best friend has a heart? Well, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So our heart, out of our heart, the mouth speaks, right? So it will speak acceptable things or unacceptable things. This is still discipleship, okay? So with that, we're going to go to the scripture I ask you to hold, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. This is the story of Isaiah having a vision of God on his throne and how holy he is and angels flying around him and angels speaking his holiness. And it's so loud, and it's so loud that it shakes the doorpost of heaven. If you look at verse 5. Isaiah is seeing all of this, and it's impacting him so much that he says this, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Before this happened, there was a question that was about to come out, and all of this vision that Isaiah was saying, see, it was so powerful to him, and it struck him, "I'm a wicked man. I dwell in the midst of wicked people." And then a question comes forward in verse 8 says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" That's an amazing thing to be undone. He self-described it to being undone. That word meant I am destroyed. I am cut off. I'm separated from God. Let's just go back 6 months. Is there any time in that last 6 months that you felt a little bit undone? My wife, Mike, could say, "Yeah, John, you should raise your hand on that one." When you get in the presence of the Lord, it's kind of a referendum on who you are, who you really are. When you see His holiness, you realize how unholy you are, if we're honest with ourselves. And I'm so grateful for this passage, because it's true. And it identified the problem. And it also gave a solution. And the problem was his mouth and his lips. And the solution was the coal touching his mouth, touching his lips. According to James, a man that could control his tongue could control his old body. And only God can help us with that. We can't do it by wanting a better heart. We can't do it by wanting to be a better version of me. That's coming up, by the way, Lord willing, January 1st. We'll have yet another trip around the planet where we'll try to come up with a solution to be a better version of who we are. But when it comes to this, it's going to take him being the king of this, the king of my heart. There's a scripture that in Judges, it's at the end of Judges. I think it's an appropriate place at the end of Judges because we move from the judges to the kings. And what we find is that there were judges that were present, and the judges couldn't get it done. They couldn't make everybody better. They could administrate things and lay down laws and things like that, but they couldn't fix people. They moved from judges to kings. And guess what? Kings couldn't do it either. Because only a king can do it. The last scripture in Judges is such a poignant scripture. Judges 21:25, it says, "In those days there was no king. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Can you imagine the chaos of that? Well, that scripture is an old scripture, but guess what? It's the same thing's happening today. For those that have no king, y'all saw my cat-like reflexes at 58 years old. That's pretty good. I'm just saying, I'm kind of proud of that moment right there. Y'all stand and we'll pray and go home because pride is slipping in. Now, in those days, there was no king. And today, if you don't have a king, you'll just do what's right in your own eyes. Social media's got that thing. You remember Facebook and likes and liking things and like, I'm going to like that. Yeah, you just touch that little thumb right there. And then somebody found out you touch it again and you can unlike it. Uh-oh. World changing. Introduced us to the judgment that is inside of us, right? It's an opportunity to judge something harmlessly, like it and not, until we realize there's algorithms and all these things are going on. So much more is going on than we realize. Can I tell you, if you don't have a king, you're going to do what's right in your own eyes. And if you don't have the king of your heart in place, your heart is in trouble. Let's go back over it. "Let the words and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight." If I don't have a king in my heart, my words are unacceptable. My meditations are unacceptable. What was the next one? "Keep your heart with all diligence." You don't get a day off keeping your heart. Why? The other scripture, "The heart is deceitful above all things." If that's not enough information, it takes it another step further and says, it's desperately wicked. He could have just said, it's wicked. It's desperate. You know what something that's desperate is? That's something that's in desperation? Your heart is desperately wicked. And mine is too. It needs a king. In those days, there was no king. Judges couldn't do it. Kings couldn't do it. But a king will do it. A king will do it. Christine, will you come? I say this truthfully and as a warning. Be very careful with what comes out of your mouth. People remember what comes out of your mouth. Can I tell you that human nature is such that I can remember what you said that was uncomely, yet give myself a pass to say whatever I want to say? That's human nature, and it's not pretty. And if we're not careful, and if we don't have a king in our heart, what comes out of us will destroy the influence that he has intended for each and every one of us, because our words matter. The power of the word, the power of the spoken word. You know, they got these things now where people will go to these lounges and there'll just be a microphone there and someone will come up and the thing that they give you is called the spoken word. And people will judge that and they'll go, But you don't need a mic and you don't need a lounge for people to judge what you say, because they're doing it all the time. It's human nature. Don't destroy your witness. These moments that we're together, they're for your benefit. Next week, we're going to celebrate 20 years of doing this together. I'm so excited about it. But I could, with just a phrase or two, destroy 20 years of ministry in this town. Real quick. Right here. Just a little bit of utterance. It's a little bit of saying something off color, off topic, off brand, off. I can do it saying good things. I can do it talking about culture, being counterculture. I can speak against culture. And the only thing that I can tell you that my goal is to speak what the word of the Lord says. And I hope that my life is believable outside of this pulpit. Because you can't decide how people are going to judge you. But you be consistent. I remember one of the kindest things I ever heard said about me was in a conflict a long time ago. And I was a pastor, and someone had gotten upset with me. And I mean, they were mad and trying to let other people get in on their displeasure with me. And they said some hard things about me. And some other people in the congregation said, "That doesn't sound like him." It's one of the kindest things I've ever received. And that was only because I had a track record. And then it just came out that they were just mad. People say things just because they're mad sometimes, but even just getting the word out there, there's aftermath, isn't there? Yeah. Don't let this word be a platitude. Don't let God's word be a platitude. Be sure that what you are doing right now doesn't end at 12:30 until 11 o'clock next Sunday. Don't do that. Be careful that you are careful with your lips. If someone were to say something about you that were mean, that was mean and nasty and wasn't true, you knew it wasn't true, but people that they said it to, they might not know, but they know about you. Would they be able to say, doesn't sound like him, doesn't sound like her? I hope that would be the case. Because people are free to say whatever they want to say. But your words are important, and your words are your words. You own them. Your mouth It would do us all good at times to have that Isaiah 6 moment when we come to the presence of the Lord and don't just leave on a high. Leave realizing that, Lord, take the coal from the altar. Cleanse my lip so that I can be the one that you'll send out. That I can have the here I am moment. That I can have the here I am, Lord, send me. Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word means so much and that it is so very true and that it is perfect. And thank you that it's for us. Thank you that it is a guide through this life for us. Thank you that there is such valuable instruction, that it is supreme, that there's no other instruction that's like it, not even close. It's the best. It's for us. It's from you to us. Let your word be inside of us. Let it touch our hearts. Let it change our hearts. So that what comes out of us will be acceptable in your sight. And what stays inside of us that we meditate will be acceptable in your sight. Realizing that you see what we say and you see what we meditate on in our hearts. You see it all. You're omni. You're all powerful. You're all knowing. You're all sufficient. We thank you, God. We realize the weight of that, and we recognize that our words are powerful. And we don't want to lose the influence that you've given us in this world because we have the truth. We have your word. What else do we need? Lord, I thank you for this discipleship series. I thank you for quiet moments. I thank you for instruction that makes us think. I thank you that there are times when we leave on a high and that there's times that we leave in a thought process. Lord, help us to leave being diligent, being careful, giving attention to ourselves. not what other people do, ourselves. So that we do not sabotage the plan that you have over our lives. That we do not self-sabotage the influence that you're giving us to be a light in darkness. And I thank you that you'll help us with it. In Jesus' name, amen.